Hey, this is Ryan Tucker, and we want to thank you for listening to the Unchangeable Truth Podcast. In this podcast, we get to dive into Pastor Stephen's weekly sermons right here at Highland Park Baptist Church. We would ask you to rate, like, subscribe, and comment. And again, we are honored and thankful that you have chosen to listen to the Unchangeable Truth. What's up, everybody, and welcome to the Unchangeable Truth Podcast with Ryan and Stephen on this VBS Monday right here at our church with lots of kids everywhere this morning. They're gone now, though, so we got it quiet.
There's a bunch of kids.
We can do our podcast in peace.
I guess so. I don't know how many, but there was a bunch.
A lot.
Over 1,000.
For the first day, there was more on the first day than I've seen ever.
Yeah, it was a lot.
A lot of kids.
No doubt.
They were loud.
Yeah. I was standing out there with my son and some of our teenage guys, and they were just like, man, we're hungry. We want to go get something to eat. And they were talking about all the places they were going to go. They said one particular Mexican restaurant. And they're like, Pastor Steve, why don't you go with us? And I'm like, no, I don't eat at that place, man. I don't like that. I'm not a big fan of the place they were going to go. And they're like, well, you name the place. And I'm like, you know, I could handle a Five Guys burger. And matter of fact, if you go to Five Guys, let them know you heard about them here, right here on Unchangeable Truth Podcast. And they're all like, yeah, we'd love Five Guys. And I'm like, my goodness, man, they really wanted me to go. And
they wanted you to pay.
Well, there were six of them, and five of them had played on a baseball team that I coached, and that's exactly what they wanted me to go to pay. And dude, I bought $150 worth of hamburgers at Five Guys.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
They're expensive.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm standing there and I'm like, y'all drinking water.
That's a treat for us in our house.
Like, yeah, go double up on those peanuts.
Yeah.
The freebies. But it was good, but I'll tell you, 54-year-old man, you I didn't do well with that, man. I feel like
a little sluggish.
Oh gosh.
A little tired.
Yeah, and just they're good, but they're greasy. And then my kid's like, hey, Dad, you want to share some Cajun fries? I'm like, yeah, that'd be good. Yeah. Well, man, the Cajun seasoning fry guy, he had a heavy hand, son. It was so bad at the end. I'm like trying to give them away. And those boys were trying to eat them. They're like, man, these are hot. And, and you rub your eye and you get it in your eyeballs. And it was stout. So my voice is better today, but I feel like I got a rock in my gut. They're good now. They're good. I like them. They're as good as any burger out there, except the one that comes off my own grill. Journey, you like Five Guys? Do you like to go there?
I don't go there.
You don't go there? Yeah.
No, I cook world famous burgers.
Yes, what I've heard.
How do y'all both have the world famous burger?
Yeah,
he doesn't. I do. I got the medal to prove it.
Maybe, hey.
Because he cooked two.
Hey, here we go.
I cooked 202.
Maybe.
They weren't as good as those two.
Maybe we have a little taste test.
Maybe we do. I think we do.
Unchangeable Truth.
Yeah, he cooked his on cedar plank wood brought from Denali, Alaska. He did. He cooked it on some kind of wood. I don't know.
The
one he won, his brother was a judge.
It won a gold plated plastic medal.
Man, we'll do it. Let's do it someday.
That'd be fun. I'll partake.
I cook burgers. I'm more of a steak guy, though. I like to cook steak more than burgers. It's all good.
Yeah, it's all good.
It's all good. But it was a good day.
I hope you feel better, man.
Hung out, yeah. But you know, when you're 54, you gotta really evaluate, what am I going to eat today? And, big greasy things, not the best thing for you.
Are you going to have weird dreams tonight?
Probably not.
Oh.
I don't dream. I don't dream much anymore.
You know, it's funny we talk about dreams.
You had a dream last night?
No, man. The text that we talk about. Yeah.
That's true. We were talking about a dream.
The king had a dream.
He did.
And,
we're still talking about 2,600 years later.
That's right. That's right. So Daniel chapter 2, this is your second sermon series. Second sermon in the series.
Correct.
Of Daniel leading up to, eventually getting to the book of Revelation. Daniel chapter 2, though, you took on a big portion of the text, which, again, you said it. Normally you don't do that, but, if we read this whole, it just kind of tells a story. Do you want to kind of recap that story? You want to jump straight into the points?
Well, I mean, it doesn't matter to me. I mean, you want me to recap the story or?
I mean, I'm not going to recap the story because I'm not the one that wrote the sermon, but.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, basically the story is this, and I would encourage you to read it in chapter two if you haven't. Go ahead and read chapter one while you're at it because it helps you just understand a little bit more of chapter two. But basically you have the Babylonians led by King Nebuchadnezzar. They come in and they take captive Israel. And so in their desire to culturalize Israel, we talked about this last week, he takes the brightest, the smartest, the best-looking young people.
He would have told you and I.
Probably.
In that
I'm
time
thinking
frame.
We're in there. Yeah. I'm thinking we're in there. Journey probably been left behind, but he took them to Babylon. And he says, "Here's how I'm going to change everything. I'm going to immerse these guys in my culture.
Yeah,
give them the best, the finest. I'll treat them. I mean, to some degree, you could almost say, hey, I'll treat them like my own sons. I'm going to hold nothing back.
Yeah.
And he really not only says I'm not going to hold anything back. He's going to require it. This is what you're going to do. And Daniel sits there and he's just faithful Jewish boy and believing in the one true living God and just says, man, God's kind of given us some commands on what to eat and what not to eat. And I'm not going to defile God because the commitment that I made to him is more about a dietary restriction.
Yeah.
It's more about faithfulness and obedience. And so he chose not to eat what the king told him to eat. And, you know, he said, give me 10 days and see if it's not better. And all he ate was vegetables, drank water, and it was better. And so they had kind of finished their training, if you will, and they get placed in an area of service that just happened to be part of the fortune tellers, the guys, the wise men, right? The ones that the king would bring in and say, hey, what about this? What do I do when it comes to this? And in this situation, the king had a dream, and he's like, I want to know. What does this dream mean? And clearly he had started questioning, I think, a little bit when it comes to these wise guys because they're like, well, you tell us what the dream is. We'll tell you what it means. And he's like, well, no, if you're that good, you go ahead and tell me what I dreamt.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're like, nobody can do that. There's nobody. I mean, only the gods can do that. And the gods, they don't have a relationship with us. They don't talk to us because they worship false idols. They worship gods made of metal and wood and made of substance. And then Daniel's like, well, no, there is one God that's alive.
Yeah.
And I talk to him every day. And he talks to me. And I'll inquire of him. And he does. And then he brings back and tells the king, here's what you dreamt. And the reason he knew what he dreamt is because God's the one that sent the dream.
Yeah.
Here's what you dreamt, and here's what it means. And next time we'll actually get into the interpretation of the dream because what some of the things we're seeing right now in the Middle East, that's the interpretation of the dream.
Mm.
We're going to see the dream that God gives him is going to talk about dynasty after dynasty after dynasty down through the ages. And so much of that dream, we can sit here and say, even though what we're reading was written 2,600 years ago, this has come to pass.
Yeah.
This is no longer a prediction. This is history. And then there are going to be some aspects of the dream that have yet to come to pass, but they're going to come to pass and happen exactly the way the other parts of it. So we'll talk about that next time. But, you know, then Nebuchadnezzar's like, oh, Daniel, your God is the true God.
Yeah.
He is the living God.
Yeah. And he says that multiple times throughout the book of Daniel.
He does. And he'll say it. Sometimes you're like, he gets it. And then you come back and you're like,
right.
No, he don't get it.
Yeah, he don't get it.
Yeah. He's probably a little too tied into that Babylonian culture.
Yeah. Yeah.
you know, honestly, to me, and my wife has said this, and some of our listeners will probably get upset. You know, I voted for Trump for president. So if you're going to get upset, just know that. I did cast my vote for him. But the every time she'll hear him talk and stuff like that, she goes, but he's Nebuchadnezzar, man. He's Nebuchadnezzar. Because there are times that you hear Trump talk about some faith stuff, and you're like, hey, he gets it. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, if he gets it, he just barely gets it. Because, man, he says
some other things.
Yeah, some of the things he say, you're like, oh, man. Oh, yeah.
He likes all the testaments.
Yeah, likes all the testaments, right? A little bit of Nebuchadnezzar there. But, you know, I mean, I look at somebody, you know, it's hard for me to understand and identify. I was taught about Jesus my whole life.
Yeah.
I wasn't immersed in a different belief system or culture, and so I'm not going to sit here and, I mean, we'll We'll deal with it when we go a little bit further in Daniel about Nebuchadnezzar. But
so did people ask you, or have you had questions? You addressed a little bit, you know, does God still speak through dreams? Did you have anybody come?
You know, I didn't know. Talk to you about that. Yeah, and this would be a great opportunity for us to say, anybody who has any questions, man, shoot us an email. Yeah. We'd love to field those questions. There's no such thing as a bad question. Nobody. And we even talked about this. I think we talked about it. I don't know. It may have just been conversation that we were a part of. But, you know, one of the things that we're seeing now over in Africa, and, when we're taking the Jesus movie and some other things evangelistically into some areas that have never heard the gospel, and they watch the Jesus film, and they're like, I knew that. I know that guy.
Yeah, yeah.
I've been dreaming about him.
Yeah.
I just didn't know his name was Jesus.
Yeah.
He's been coming to me in dreams.
Yeah.
And, you know, folks like, you believe God could speak? Absolutely. My goodness, God can speak through a dream.
I like the way you always put it. You're like, God can do, God's God. He can do anything he wants.
Absolutely can. Yeah. He's God. And there are no limitations. The only limitations God has are limitations he sets upon himself.
Yeah.
God could lie. God's not going to lie.
Yeah.
And he wouldn't get in trouble with anybody if he did lie. Right. But he's not going to lie because that's who he is, the character and nature. He would counteract what he has already set in motion with his own words. So he can speak through dreams. Now, I'll say this. Those folks in those areas of remote areas of Africa that we've come into contact with, that they're like, yeah, I've been dreaming about this guy. I just didn't know his name was Jesus. And we believe that was God getting their hearts ready to be receptive to the gospel project or the Jesus film. And then they respond to the good news of Jesus Christ, but they don't have the written word.
Yeah,
they don't have a Bible like we do. They don't have a Gospel of John like we do. And so, I tell folks today, versus you sitting there saying, "Boy, one of these days God's going to give me a dream and tell me what He wants me to do with my life," I'm like, "Hey, instead of you waiting for that day, why don't you just go ahead and dig into His Word?
Yeah,
see what the Bible has to say. That is the best representation of what His plan and His will is for your life."
Yeah.
And I even made the joke that, and I even told the true story, because I told a guy that one time about, if you eat tacos after 10 o'clock at night, you probably gonna have a dream. And next thing you know, you're like, tell me what that dream means. Well, that dream means don't be eating tacos at 10 o'clock at night.
Or you had five guys.
At noon.
You have some weird dreams.
Yeah, I think it's the Cajun fries that hurt me the most, though. I got to realize, I can't eat with those 16, 17-year-old boys, man. I just can't do it, son. They're putting it away. And then they'll go out and run 5 miles.
I know. It's ridiculous.
I'm having a hard time sitting behind my desk.
Eyes get a little heavy certain times.
Yeah, they can put it away, though. But I would say this. Instead of sitting there, maybe God will write something in the clouds. No, I mean, He's written something.
Yeah.
His living word.
Yeah.
There's nothing better to determine what His plan and will for your life is.
Well, let's talk about some life lessons that we can see and learn through some of this stuff. So your first life lesson was that the impossible comes from all of us, because the way that Daniel kind of interpreted the dream, some of the things that went on, things that were happening, God works in the impossible. You said the impossible comes to all of us. I think that's one of those things that we need to hear and be reminded of, that sometimes things in life is just going to seem impossible.
I tried to set it up because I wanted there to be a clear understanding. Yeah. I put the word impossible in parentheses because point number three is going to be very clearly, there is no impossible with God. So when I'm saying the impossible, I'm saying what we might define as the impossible, or what the culture, the world might say, that's an impossible situation. Yeah. God would never say, I guess the only thing He would say it's impossible would be, it is impossible for a man to go to heaven apart from Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
But that's not impossible, because God's made a way through Jesus Christ. So, I wanted everyone to understand, when we talk about impossible situations, we're not talking about because you've failed or you've made a mistake.
Human limitations.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the fact that we all find ourselves facing situations at one point in time to where We may not even say it. We may be too prideful to admit it, but we are living as though, man, there's no hope for this. Yeah. This is, quote, impossible. Yeah. And I kind of go back to what the wise men said there. Hey, King, what you're asking us to do, nobody can do. You're asking us to do something that is completely impossible. And then Daniel would agree, hey, unless God gets involved, it is impossible.
Yeah.
But he went to God, the living Lord, and said, I need some help with the impossible. If it depends upon me, it's not going to be.
Yeah.
And so we're depending upon you. But, I even made this statement. It's amazing to how we look around at people and we say, man, you look at them. They really got everything together in their life. Their home's perfect. Their marriage is perfect, and all this kind of stuff. There is no such thing.
Yeah,
we all struggle.
Yeah,
and we all face those difficult situations. And so,
some people are just really good at hiding it.
Oh, I'd say
really good.
I'd say that. Agree. And man, you don't know what's going on in somebody's mind when they try to lay their head down on their pillow at night. Yeah. And so, I kind of laying that out there. This is universal to all of us. Don't sit there and say, well, only those who worship false idols face the impossible. Now, some antics, well, possible, impossible.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just saying those situations that would mostly be defined as that there is no hope at all.
Yeah.
So.
And then to add on to that, your second point, the impossible, quote, impossible can cause us to depend on God. But there's some variables to that because you're talking about praying in faith. You know, praying in faith brings wisdom. Praying in faith continually results in praise.
And I probably chose the wrong words there. I even say this in the sermon where, I put the impossible can cause us to depend upon God. I really should have said the impossible gives us opportunity to depend upon God. Not everyone does. Not everyone in those difficult situations say, you know what, this is going to increase my faith. My hope and trust is still in Him. Now it's easy to in good times.
Yeah,
I mean we even dealt with that. I guess in our context series this past week. Yeah, in good times, man, no problem having faith in Him and trusting Him. Yeah. But man, my world has come crashing in, and so what am I going to do now? Well, to me, it's those difficult times, those times of. You could say suffering, those times of difficulty. And again, for lack of a better word, what would the scripture here would define as the impossible. Those are times that it puts our faith to action.
Yeah.
I'm going to trust you, God. I'm going to trust you. And what's it going to do? We're going to follow the example that Daniel had. And I just had this conversation with someone that is dealing with something pretty big time in their life that some folks would say, well, that is an impossible situation. And, they're sitting there and they're like, you know, hey, I was thinking about maneuvering some things. I was thinking about, flexing just a little bit, contacting people so I can get the outcome that I want here. And they said, but, you know, God just kind of confirmed through the message Sunday, no, your hope's in me. Instead, there's power in prayer. Yeah. How about you just get your buddies together and call upon the Lord for this? And that's what Daniel did.
Yeah.
Daniel's like, I don't know. If we would have gotten a meeting together, I would have been like, oh, wait, you got anything, Ryan?
Yeah.
What do you think he dreamt? Can we do? Can we hire a private investigator?
Let's brainstorm this real fast.
Yeah. Let's dig through his trash and see what he's been reading. That may affect what he's, you know, we got to figure out something here. And to me, I don't even read, even by the way he approaches the king after the prayer, I just don't see any concern. Maybe concern's not the best word. There's no anxiety or worry or fear.
Yeah.
He is fully confident in God.
Yeah.
And I love the fact, though, that, you know, it wasn't his last resort. I would say it wasn't even his first resort. It was his only resort.
Yeah.
Prayer.
Yeah.
He calls Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego together. Hey, guys, let's pray about this because we got to give this guy an answer.
Well, and I was thinking about this, you know, kind of along with just what you guys have gone through over the last couple of years with your wife, just the cancer treatments and just the ups and downs and trying to get one report, then you get another report, then this report. Like, I remember several times, you know, we would pray for you guys, over you guys, even while you guys were at the hospital in Jacksonville, like the staff would circle up in the mallway and pray for you guys during those times. Like, so it's neat to see, you know, the old school guys here in the Bible do this, and you see what happened, but then all of a sudden, like, you do that in real time and you see God work through the power of prayer and the people. And it, I don't know, it's just, it's a cool moment that God's showing, hey, I'm still the God then,
sure,
as I am now. You know, I never change. And yeah, power of prayer, man.
Well, and Daniel and his buddies, they were not some weak-minded mamby-pamby.
Yeah, they were strong.
Well, they were the best.
Yeah.
There's a reason why they got chosen to go. They were the smart. There's a reason why they came out of their learning, I say college, you know, whatever their training was, and they're like, hey, we're going to put them over here with these wise guys.
Yeah.
Because they're pretty smart. We think they'd be great there.
Yeah.
And so you don't have to check your brain in to be able to sit there and say, I believe there's power in prayer.
Right.
It's not some empty ritual that we do. I mean, we pray before we even start the podcast here and just ask God to use this beyond us. Because, I mean, really, if you're watching on television late at night, you'd sit there and say, what are those two guys doing on there? Man, they're just sitting around. And I mean, I can't believe who was buying this time frame for them to do stuff like this. And
we still wonder.
it's the supernatural gospel of Jesus Christ. Yeah. And that God will take, you know, we honor him, we honor his word, we get the truth out there. And man, God will supernaturally do something. Yeah. And that they'll probably, you know, I guarantee you, this 11 o'clock when this runs, there'll be folks flipping through the channel and they'll just stop and they'll listen for a little while. And then God and the Holy Spirit will just use something that is not profound coming out of our mouths, but he makes it pretty profound when it lands in their heart. And, I mean, there's just great power when you surrender your faith and trust to Christ and Jesus' work in this situation. I'm going to cry out to you in prayer. And I love the fact, the second thing that you mentioned there is, I love the fact that before they even had verification that the prayer had been answered, they're like, we're going to go ahead and thank you, Lord, for doing this.
Yeah.
Thank you, God, for what you're going to do in this situation.
Yeah.
And a lot of folks would say, well, hang on just a second.
Yeah.
Let's see if God does something.
Yeah.
And I don't think this was Daniel's first prayer rodeo with God.
Oh, no.
This is a guy, this is how he lived. This was his life.
Well, if I remember correctly, I don't remember exactly where it is, but like, I think one of the things in scripture early in Daniel, it talks about as he was in the habit of doing.
Well, we're going to come to that. That's in Daniel 3.
Okay.
And that's where he gets thrown in the lion's den because he won't quit praying.
Because and it was part of his, it was part of him.
It was his daily discipline.
Yeah.
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 And he believed it. He didn't just do it to check off the boxes. And I would just say this, man, don't, as a follower of Jesus Christ, don't wait to the moment of impossibility to develop a faithful prayer life. Let that be just a natural process. Now, I'll say this. When you first start doing that, it's not going to be a natural process.
Yeah, yeah.
It's something you work at. And remember the purpose of prayer. The purpose of prayer is not to get God to change his mind. The purpose of prayer is for our desires in our heart to be changed. And I'll make a statement, and I don't even know that I can explain this statement, but I believe this to be true. God chooses to accomplish his will through the faithful prayers of his people. You say, what are you saying that if we don't pray, God's will's not going to be done? Well, there's a reason that Jesus said, hey, when you pray, pray, may your will be done on earth as it is done in heaven, which tells us it doesn't automatically happen on earth.
Yeah.
And so I'm just saying, I believe that's how God's chosen to accomplish his will.
Yeah.
What does that mean? His will won't happen if I don't pray. Man, I can't be that bold to say that statement, but I can just say this. I think if you pray, it's not going to hinder his will.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it may open you up to see what his true will is.
Yeah.
And there's a reason why over and over again, even Jesus himself.
Yeah.
I mean, here's God in flesh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Conversing with the Father. Yeah. And what a great example that was.
Well, your last point, again, you know, talks about the impossible is possible with God.
Yeah, that was a real just a, you know, real deep theological statement. Yeah,
the impossible is possible with God. But you talk about, and we talked about your wreck before on here, and that's part of your story. And I think you, if I remember correctly, I think you've shared that on the podcast.
I don't remember. No, we've been doing this for a little while.
Anyway, I know you've shared it in the church before. But you just kind of hit like one little thing talking about how doctors were saying there's this one little thing that it happened as a result of the wreck, and it was an impossibility according to the medical, you know, resources that you were getting, the mm-hmm. things that were happening that shouldn't have happened.
Mm-hmm.
And even in your own life through a pretty traumatic time, the impossible became possible, and God mighty in a mighty way used that in you. And I mean, look at us now.
Well, and being able to cough up. Yeah, absolutely. Being able to cough up a tooth that they say the only way is going to come out of your lung is, you know. And when I say tooth, listen, don't think of a baby tooth.
Yeah, yeah.
This is an adult tooth, root and all.
Oh.
I mean, it's huge. Jennifer's seen it. And she reminded me yesterday, your mom doesn't keep it in a Ziploc baggie. She keeps it in a Tic Tac box.
She's like, hey, you want to see it?
She does. I forgot. She does. but anyway, the fact that I was able to cough it out of my lung and there not be any scar tissue or any pathway or anything was an amazing thing. And so after the service, we have a we have an oral surgeon in our church that I had the opportunity to lead to the Lord a couple of years ago, and he's just on fire for Jesus. And so he comes up to me, and here's what he says. He says, so which lung was it in? I'm like, what do you mean which lung was it in? Left side, right side? I'm like, left? And he goes, I'm going to send you something. And just a brilliant guy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about, don't you?
Yeah.
And just a brilliant guy. And so Flegal sends me this, and he says, it is impossible that this even went down the left side of your esophagus. It went, you know, went down through your bronchial tubes and lodged in the left side of the lung.
Wow.
Because everything goes right. Everything goes right. And the fact that even you cough something up and it would even come up from the left is impossible.
Yeah.
And so it gave me a new layer to that. And I just go back to, you know, people, what do you think happened? What do you think changed? And I had a praying mama.
Yeah.
And she had a bunch of praying friends.
Yeah.
And they said, we'll just go to the Lord and ask the Lord to do something impossible.
Yeah.
And he chose fit to do that. And, you know, hopefully it caused my faith to grow and trust him. You know, sometimes he may not answer it the way we want to.
Right.
And let's just say that my mom would have prayed. And I had not coughed that up. I can promise you, her prayer was not helping cough it up.
Right.
She didn't know what she was praying for. She knew what she wanted the outcome to be.
Right.
But if he would have said, no, I'm not going to cause that to happen, he still would have been the God of the impossible.
Yeah.
Yeah. That doesn't change the fact of who he is. The fact that I'm alive.
Yeah.
He's the God of the impossible. The fact that I was saved, and that was the big point I was trying to make.
Yeah.
The greatest impossibility I ever had in my life is to go from being lost to be found.
Yeah.
And
death to life.
And that's available to all who will come and believe. Anybody listening, driving down the road right now, I just say this, just cry out to Jesus. Jesus, save me. Come into my life. I want to follow you. And the greatest miracle that could ever be worked will be worked right there, because God will step out of heaven and he'll come to live inside of you.
And that right there is the unchangeable truth. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening right here. Pastor Stephen, as always, thank you. And we'll see you next time right here on the Unchangeable Truth Podcast.
This is Pastor Stephen Kyle, and I would like to thank you for listening to this week's episode of Unchangeable Truth. We would always love to talk to you about your relationship with Jesus Christ, so feel free to shoot us an email at podcast at highlandpark.org. That's HILANDPARK.org. The purpose of this broadcast is to help you fall more in love with Jesus Christ and your faith to grow as you consistently find yourself in the Word of God. If you ever find yourself in Panama City, please feel free to stop by and worship with us in person at 2611 Highway 231 North. May God bless you, and we look forward to you joining us again.